Thank y'all. Thank you, Jessica and Peyton. Thank you, Connie and Marty, for playing tonight. I don't know. Let's see, Peyton, are you 14 now? 13, 14? 14. I mean, it's hard for a mama to get their 14-year-old daughter to sing with them, much less match clothes with them. That's pretty awesome. So it's a win. That's a win. That's a good thing. Good thing at all. No, most 14-year-old girls are like, I don't want to be like my mama. But anyhow, that's all good, though. We're so glad that you're here. Isaiah chapter 9 is where I want to call your attention for just a little bit tonight. I'm going to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 9, but I want to kind of take a part of that and expound a little bit with how we close the service on Sunday. You know, sometimes when we close certain services will stick with me, you know, thoughts stick with me, things like that. And that has certainly happened this week as we have approached Christmas. Like I said, it gets here quicker every year. There don't seem to be anything we can do to slow it down. But I'm just grateful God's given us another one. I used to work with a gentleman that would tell me this a lot at the end of the day, Glenn. He'd say this. He'd say, well, Brent, you made it through another day. And I'd say, yes, sir. And he'd say, be thankful. A lot of people didn't. I think about that, not just at day, but especially holidays. We think about, you know, how sometimes we take things so for granted that our birthdays will come, that Christmas will come, and then one day they do, and special people are not there to be a part of that, and it certainly makes it difficult. So I know, and I do have great sympathy and empathy for folks that go through the holidays and maybe they're not just feeling all the joy that they're supposed to feel. Maybe there's a feeling of emptiness. Maybe there's some hurt and heartache. Well, I want to take you back to the real meaning of what this thing's all about anyhow, and that's what gives us joy. It's not just the fact that we gather. We enjoy the gathering, don't we? We enjoy the food. Yeah, I know y'all enjoy the food. I've seen y'all's reels out there, you know, and all y'all's little games you play. Angie's like, oh, we got to play this game. I don't know if I'm not a big gamer kind of guy. If nobody bleeds or gets hit, I'm not really interested in that game. You know, we had a rule when I was growing up over there on Azalea Street, Murphy Drive and all that back in the 70s and 80s was we played basketball, and it did not qualify as a foul if nobody bled. So, you know, this generation would really struggle with us. Anyhow, I mean, it was really backyard, you know, put your mouthpiece in to play basketball. But nevertheless, I'm just grateful that God's given us another Christmas to enjoy the things we do, but most of all, to give Him praise, honor, and glory for the fact that He, the Lord Jesus, left the robes of glory that He might take on the rags of a man, so that you and I one day could exchange the rags of a man to receive the robes of glory. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, if you found your place physically able, would you stand with me? And let's just read a few verses together. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 1. Here's what the Word of God says. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by way of the sea beyond Galilee, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, the garments rolled in blood, will be used for the burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Pray with me. Father, may in these few moments tonight, you help me, God, to make known the truth of your word, to declare it to your people, that even when things are not as we would like them to be, we can still find joy regardless of the circumstances. Thank you again that Jesus came at a dark time. Lord, we know he's coming again at a dark time. But both times, his light cannot be hidden. And we pray tonight that the light of the gospel would shine forth through us, that the lives of those in darkness will be compelled to come to the giver of life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The reason I read those verses prior to verses 6 and 7 that you're very familiar with, that you hear quite often at this time of year, is because the spiritual darkness that we face today as followers of Christ is not something that's uncommon to God's people throughout history. What we experience now is very common. If you go back further into Isaiah chapter 8, it records the prophecy of the impending invasion of the Assyrians. You see, Isaiah was a prophet of God. He spoke the words from God to the people. Different than the priest, because the priest would speak to God on behalf of the people, the prophet spoke to the people on behalf of God. And here's what he was saying: I have heard from God, and the Assyrians are coming in. It's coming soon, but I want you to know there's no reason to fret. See, chapter 9 is a word to remind God's people that we are never alone in the battle. See, we read in verses 6 and 7, those very familiar verses, that prophecy of the coming Messiah, who would be born as a child, not a ruling king, but a child, that he would come from the bloodline of David, and who there would be no end to his kingdom, his government, or his rule. You see, the great light was born over 2,000 years ago. He was born to be our kinsman redeemer. He was born to be the Messiah, the sacrifice for sin, the Savior of the world. And he came to do something very special. He came to bring light to darkness and eternal life to all who would receive him as both Savior and Lord. Well, when we study the word light in Scripture, we know some rather interesting things. It's very fascinating to me to discover all the ways that light can be manifested to the world. I believe that great light that we're talking about in chapter 9, that great light that became known as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, I believe there's a manifestation of light in Scripture that we need to not only hear at Christmas, but needs to be a part of every day of our lives, ending this year, going into next year. This Sunday, we'll talk about our new theme for the year. We'll close out the book of Judges, and we'll talk about how we're looking for God to help us prepare for the rain that will fall, the rain of blessing, the rain of challenge, and all of those things in the future. And our willingness to be light for the gospel of Jesus Christ is very critical in God fulfilling those dreams he's placed in our heart. Let's just talk about light for a few minutes tonight. Let's see what the Word teaches about it. Well, number one, the Word teaches us that God himself is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we've heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Somebody had asked me once, what do I have to do to be able to see things clearly? I say, you need a biblical worldview. They say, what does that mean? I say, that means that everything in your life you view through the lens of Scripture, because If you have a media-driven worldview, you'll be really confused. You'll be confused because the media is put out by fallen men, just like me and you. A lot of those media companies have an agenda. A lot of them are like college football teams. They have boosters to appease. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know when you view the Scripture and the world through the lens of Scripture, you have a biblical worldview, and it will shape everything about you. The light that you come into as a child of God is because you have experienced a light that only comes from God. And God the Father is the only true source of light under heaven. There's no other way to be enlightened to truth except through a relationship with a holy, sovereign God. No man can walk in true light without a relationship with God. Amen? So God Himself is light. Number two, I want you to know this. Not only is God Himself light, God's Son is light. Oh, we love this. We mentioned this Sunday morning, John 8:12, that Jesus spoke to the people saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know the light that came from God the Father has now been manifest to the world through the incarnation of the God-man. The Bible makes it very clear in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And nothing was made without Him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Word, the living Word of God, was made manifest. He was made man, and now He walked among us. He had no sin, but He was full of grace and truth. I want you to hear me. The light from God has been manifested through the incarnation of the God-man, and knowing Jesus Christ is the only possible way to experience the joy and peace of truly walking in the light of God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Look, when I walk in the light, you know what that means? That everybody that's in the light, I can walk arm in arm and hand in hand with them straight into eternity. You know why? It's not because I've been good or you've been good or I've been bad, you've been bad. It just simply means this, that we have repented of our sins and we have trusted Christ as Savior. So from now through all eternity, we can have fellowship with the Father, we have fellowship with the Son, we have fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and we have fellowship with the body of Christ. Amen. I used to hear Adrian Rogers put it like this. He said, you know, the church and the Hell's Angels have something in common. Because the church and the Hell's Angels are the two organizations under heaven that you have to admit that you've been bad to get in. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, because I want you to know, if you're not a bad guy, you're not getting into the Hell's Angels. Here's the difference, though. You got to stay bad to be there. But when you come to Jesus Christ, He takes all your bad, all your sin, all your shame, all the things you did that brought dishonor and disglory to the name of God, He takes it and He cleanses it with the blood of Calvary. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I don't understand how a black heart can be washed with red blood and come out white as snow. I tell you like old country preacher told me one time. He said, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk, but it happens, amen? I may not always understand it, and I may not always be able to explain it, but I tell you what you can't argue with, and that is the evidence of a changed life, and Jesus Christ changes lives, amen? Oh, God Himself is light. God's Son is light. Here's something else you never need to forget, is that God's Word is light. Psalm 119:105, you know it well. You learned it in vacation Bible school, I hope. Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Remember what we were talking about at the end of the sermon Sunday, and I told you about when I went to pastor a church many years ago, 20 years ago now. And one of the dear men said to me, he's still my dear buddy to this day, he said, oh, preacher, you're going to love our church. We don't have no problems here. We have none. What you've experienced before, you're just going to have the best time being the pastor of our wonderful church. But I found out real quick that it wasn't that they didn't have problems, they just didn't realize they did because nobody had been turning the light on. When you turn the light on, it'll reveal a whole lot of stinking darkness. And folks had got so used to the dark, they couldn't even tell they was in the dark anymore. Amen? Look here, think about that. Now think about the Word of God. Do you know why a lot of people stumble so much and seem to have so much difficulty and things like that? Lord, we all do from time to time, and I'm not throwing rocks at nobody. I'm throwing ropes to help you. But I'll tell you this, if you're not turning the light of the Word of God on your path, you can't expect to honor God with your life, nor can you expect to walk in His steps, nor can you expect to not get through without a whole lot of skint knees. Amen? Oh, man, I woke up one time when I was a little fella and the power was out. You know, when you're little, that's kind of terrifying. It's terrifying to Angie now. We don't like to wake up. And have you ever had this happen? You're trying to find your way through the house and you're feeling walls, right? Trying to feel something that feels. And did you bump your head? Tell you what's worse, you stumped your toe. No, you didn't say any bad words. You just got out a notepad and wrote them down and signed your name to it. I understand. Look here. But it's hard to get around in the dark. Somebody don't turn on the light. If there's one way you can turn on the light this Christmas and turn on the light in 2026, if we live to see that wonderful year, I want you to know this. The way you turn a light on is by staying in the light of the Word. I believe the reason so many people walk in darkness is because they keep themselves unexposed and unimpacted by the Word of God. They would like a nice little homily, a nice little speech, a nice little devotion, instead of the Word of God piercing to the very dividing points of the joints and the marrow of our hearts. You see, the Word of God is not meant to make you always feel better. It's to get you right with the Holy God. That's the thing I remind myself regularly, is that the Word of God is not meant for my feelings. You know what? I had a person tell me once, said, "Preacher, we would really appreciate if you would go a different direction in your preaching." That's what he means. Say, well, we appreciate you preach through books and stuff like that. We understand the expository thing, but we'd like for you to address more of our felt needs. There's only one problem with that. I don't know anything about your felt needs. I really don't. And I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a medical physician. I can't diagnose anything about you other than the fact that we all, after committing one sin, became sin sick in need of a Savior. I'm a gospel preacher, and I don't have anything other. Look here, you can't improve on the Word of God. I have nothing other, nothing better to proclaim to you than thus saith the Word of God. I know nothing about everybody's needs, but I do know this. The God that I'm preaching about, the Savior that I'm raising up, if you will follow Him, Him and His Word will address all your needs. God's Son, God's Word, God Himself. His Word literally dispels the darkness of this world. Let me give you one final one. Not only is God Himself light, not only is God's Son light, not only is God's Word light, but here, look here, God's children are light. What does the Bible say about that? You know, Jesus preached what I call, and many other people refer to, and I think it's correct, Jesus preached the greatest sermon ever preached. He was the greatest preacher who ever lived. And he still lives today. Many of my heroes that have preached for many years have gone on to be with the Lord. Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead and still preaches today. Now listen to me. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that greatest sermon ever preached, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you really want a good dose of getting your feelings hurt and your knees skin up and everything else, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It'll address everything. I don't know if he left a single issue of life out. But he says this in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14. You know it very well. I'm going to make sure I turn because I could probably quote it, but you know what? I don't want to mess this thing up. Got too much invested. Here's what he said. He said that you, wait, he's talking to followers of him. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Y'all remember this. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, it gives light to who? Everybody that's in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and it may glorify your Father who is in heaven. God's children are to be light. Remember we used to teach that, you know, this little light of mine. Y'all remember that? Somebody. Okay, I'll make sure. You know, everybody's a little relaxed. So, hey, it's Christmas. Take it easy, man. We're trying to get in the season here. Look here. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we teach the little kids, man, hide it under a bushel. Nope. I'm going to let it shine. You know what I mean? Yeah, I told y'all I was in the children's choir one time. But I mean, I was that little kid over there, man, when it was hide it under a bushel. I'd be like, hide it under a bushel. No. I mean, I'd be like, hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. And, you know, and that's a wonderful little thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's pretty awesome. And we teach little kids, because that's right out of the Word of God, isn't it? That stuff right out of Scripture we're teaching children to do, and I believe that's important. But we got to realize that we are light only because His light is in us. John 8:12, He said, I am the light of the world. Matthew 5, He's saying, you are the light of the world. And wait a minute, if it's not you, wait a minute, look here. The Apostle Paul had it right. Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what he's saying? When I came to Jesus, my life has been hidden in him ever since. And the only light I have is the light he put in me. When my girls were little, and oh, how I miss those days. Y'all got little ones right now, you say, oh, they drive me crazy. All they want to know every day is it Christmas yet. They just drive me crazy. Look here. In the words of the great theologian Trace Adkins, you're going to miss it. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. Take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss it. My girls had these little things. Y'all, did any of y'all's babies back in the 90s have a glow worm? Now, Robin, I bet Crosby and little Reese Reese had them. I knew he was a little sweet boy, but I'm cutting out the way. Don't beat me up on the way out of church. I'm just cutting up with you, you know that. But they look, I remember my girls loved their little glow worms. And they were these little wormy looking things. They looked like us from Wee Dowie, Marty. They little wormy things. And it wouldn't light up until it got close to you. Squeeze it a little bit. See, that glow worm didn't have no light until it got close to somebody, showed some affection. Maybe sometimes the reason your light burns a little low is because you just need to know somebody cares about you. Maybe you get a little discouraged sometimes. Hey, I want to tell you what. I understand that. I understand that so much. And if you feel that, I'm just going to be very honest with you. There have been so many times in my journey that the holidays would be hard, you know, because in pastoral ministry, you know what we hear every day? Somebody who's really going through a hard time at the holidays. Sometimes we find out people are going through a hard time because they dug the hole all year long and need us to dig it out. Are y'all, can I just be real with you for a minute? But I understand that. And you know what? I don't want to see a child upset. I don't want to see a child without. Man, there's so many terrible things that have happened. People dealing with catastrophic illness and needing to make sure that their family and children are provided for. I'm not talking about fancy stuff. I'm talking about basic needs in these holiday times. It's easy to get discouraged, and you hear that a lot, and you say, man, I just need to help one more. I just need to help one more, and you feel like you never do enough. Maybe you understand that as well. But we only have light because of His light. I told y'all a while back that one of the neatest things to do, I get that. I talk about that on Sunday. One of the things I used to love to do, Christmas in the 1970s, my favorite thing, go to White's Auto. And they had that big window. And they lined up all the newest bicycles down there. And I remember just looking in that window. Other guys, you know, friends of mine in town, we'd stand at that window and think, boy, I really like that bike. Boy, I hope I get that bike. Oh, that'd really be cool. That's got flames on the banana seat. Y'all know that's the reason we have all these problems now, them bicycle seats they put us on, right? Here's the deal. Some of y'all get that after a while, man. But do you know how a lot of people chose what they thought was the coolest bike, Mark? By what kind of reflectors it had on it. I mean, you know, it was one thing to have a little reflector in the front, but man, you wanted some of them on that was dug into the spokes. It really made you look cool, you know, right? And some people, even the best reflectors, didn't help them. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Those reflectors weren't worth a dime unless light hit them. I mean, you're riding down a dark road in Muscadine, Jimmy Moore, okay? Old dirt road, all right? All right, you can have the coolest reflectors. Those reflectors weren't helping you see one bit. Unless you had a light, they weren't helping. Those reflectors might have looked cool when the other lights hit them, but they weren't helping you see. Oh, man. There's something to be said about that today. Because here's what I know about being a reflector. I learned in earth science that the sun is the light source of the solar system. There's no planets giving off light, only the sun. And we know the stars, but I'm talking about your source of heat and daylight comes from where? Sun. Now, at night you go outside and you see the moon. You say, well, I tell you right now, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. That moon's shining. Oh, no, it's not. The moon has zero. But because of the way the moon lines up around the earth, it catches the light rays from the sun, and on the dark side of the earth at night, it reflects the light of the sun. Do you know that's what we're supposed to be to the world? We're supposed to be reflecting the light of the sun to the darkness of the world all around us. God's children are to be light, and that is very important for us to understand. And I believe it's something we cannot miss. In Romans chapter 2, we are called to guide the blind as a light to those who are in darkness. There are people in darkness and they're counting on us. Show them light. You say, no, I tried to shine a light this week, and God told me to hush. He didn't want to hear none of that. He wasn't one of these Jesus people, and I needed to go on back. That's fine. Look here. Look here. For everyone that don't want to hear, there's hundreds that do. But I don't want you to forget this. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Did you hear that? The reason I have so much compassion for people in darkness is because I used to be. I heard a preacher today talking about it. He said, the thing that will guide your heart to stay humble before God is to never get over the fact that you are forgiven. I don't know about y'all. I don't deserve to be forgiven. And I'll let you in on a little secret in case you're feeling pretty good about it. Look here. Neither do you. None of us deserve to be forgiven. But isn't that what makes grace so amazing? We were once in darkness, but now we're children of light. Walk in the light. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the great light that has come into this world that is not just a physical light, but a light that will lead to eternal life. Father, I pray right now. God, I pray if there's anyone in this building that's not being light in darkness, that is one of your children, God, you draw them back. Draw them home. And God, if there's anyone who desires to know Christ, yet is still stumbling in darkness looking for someone to show them the way, God, may I or someone of your children be that vehicle that reflects the light of the sun that gives direction to their darkened soul. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to just for a moment while we're where we are, our Lord's Supper cups, I want you to take those out if you've got those. If you do not have one and desire to have one, if you would be so kind, I got some guys coming through the back. Just catch them. Anyone that does not have a Lord's Supper cup would like to, Robbie and Glenn will get it for you. Anybody at all? I think you're good. I don't see any thank you, gentlemen. So we're good on that. Let me just say before we take the Lord's Supper, this is so very important. I never want to ever use the Lord's Supper as something that is just tagged on to the end as though it's just a formality. This is a very serious moment. The reason I talk to you about the light tonight is because it's that light that shined in my life that changed me. And if you're a child of God, it's that light, same light shining in your life that changed you. But the reason this is so very important is one of the very last things our Lord did before he went to the cross. He met with his disciples in the upper room, the Gospel of Matthew. And when he did, he began to notice there was a disagreement among them. I've always said it was the first Baptist committee meeting in the upper room. They began to go, hey, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the least? They were kind of jockeying for position. But instead, Jesus got up from where he was, took a towel and a basin of water, and he washed their stinking feet. Now listen, the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory, humbled himself, not just to the cross and all that, but literally even prior to the cross to wash the feet, listen, of even one he knew that would betray him. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not humility, I don't know what is. But when he got done, he sat down. You remember he got to Peter. Peter said, you're not washing my feet. Yeah, yeah, I am. He said, if I don't wash you, Peter, you don't have no part with me. He said, Lord, not just my feet, but my head's in my hand. What an awesome story. But then Jesus began to go through that evening, and he broke bread and he poured the cups, and he began to talk to them about what was soon to come, that his body would be broken, his blood would be spilled, and that he would be no more with them. Later on, after the resurrection, after the conversion of the great apostle Paul, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he began to talk to them about even some things that went on with the Lord's Supper that were not in line with the teachings of Christ. They had turned the Lord's Supper into something it wasn't supposed to be. And he told them, he said, you need to be very careful when you take of this cup, me, this bread, because if you drink of it in an unworthy manner, that means a manner where sin is unconfessed, then you do so and you drink damnation to your own body. Boy, that's pretty scary. That's why the Lord's Supper is so important to me, and I don't do that as often as some people might think I should, because I don't want to be guilty of just having the Lord's Supper because it's on the calendar and people's hearts and minds are not ready for that. The preparation of your heart is very important, that you are right with God, you've confessed your sin, and you're ready to take the Lord's Supper with the body of Christ. I can't express to you how serious that is. So I want to encourage you, and we're just going to play softly and we're going to pray together. But we're going to have a time where you can just pray right where you are. And you can just say things simply as this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I thank you for being my Savior. But I want to make sure my heart's right with you. Now, I want to tell you this, too. Don't just pile your sins in a bag, put them on a pulley, and bring them up to God. It's a time to be very specific. They don't have to be known to me. They don't have to be known to anyone in this house, but if they're known to God, known to you, they need to be confessed to God before you take the Lord's Supper. So would you pray with me? Miss Connie's going to play, and we're just going to be silent for just a few moments as the music plays. I'll close us, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. How can I not identify with those words? Lord, I know as hard as we may try in our flesh in and of itself has no ability to please you. Only when we live our lives yielded to the constant leadership of the Holy Spirit. Father, right now, I know that myself and everyone in this house needs to take this moment and say, oh God, whatever is in me. As David prayed, he said, Lord, purge me with the hyssop. Search me, oh God. Know me. Try my heart. If there's any wicked way in me, I want it out. So God, if there's any personal agendas, if there are any ideas in and of ourselves, me and every person in this room included, God, may we confess it right now, God, that you would cleanse us of it, that we could be right with you when we eat this bread and drink this cup. Father, this is holy business. And I don't want to be flippant about it. I want to be serious about it. God, I pray this Lord's Supper reception time will honor you. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you. If you would, and you feel you're ready to receive, just pull the top sliver there off, and it reveals the bread. And I want to remind you what it symbolizes. Jesus made it very clear. He said, this bread, it's my body. It's broken for you. He said, take and eat. You can just pull back the second little top, feel the juice. Jesus went on a little further and he poured the juice. And he said to them, he said, "This is my blood that is shed for you. Drink all of it." If you'll leave those right there beside you, we'll have somebody come by, pick them up. Don't feel like you can stick them in the little cup holders if those are still there. We'll clean up everything. We don't expect it. Don't worry. But here's the way I'd like to close our service tonight. Everybody has a candle. I think we're going to dim the lights a little bit. Can we do that? Back, I got my guys in the back. Fish and Burke, y'all going to help us out back here. They're coming to the back. Bring me one, too. You got one? I got one here somewhere. Yeah, thank you, Hudson. Go ahead and dim that one, Robbie. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you would, just stand all across the house. Bert and Fish are going to come by. If you would, we're going to start right here with Miss Kay and Miss Peggy. And y'all light your candle. The light there is. And Miss Tina, if you would, go ahead and start that video. Right here, Bert. Just go to the person beside you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Whose hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. Carry your candle, run to the dark. The hopeless, deceived and poor, and hold out your
favor before we blow these candles out in a minute. I pray tonight that you will take the light God's put in you. And this time of holding this candle high will be a reminder of you to go reflect the light of the gospel this week and every day that God gives you. Because one day, very soon, all that will matter is what people have done with Jesus Christ. I want you to remember that as you live. And never forget that at Christmas and every day of the year, I love you. This church loves you. And there ain't nothing you can do to stop us. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a great, they're going to turn the lights back up. You can blow them out so y'all don't trip over each other. And have a great rest. See you Sunday morning at 9 for Sunday school and 10 for worship. God bless. Be careful on your way home tonight.